We're doing Rav Chalap on the parasha, Parashat Vayigash, and our topic is Yehuda and Yosef. Our topic will break down into two. Number one is Yosef and Yehuda. Number two is Yosef was concerned for the honor of Israel, Yehuda was concerned for the honor of Hashem. Ita b'midrash. The Midrash tells us, Echad be'echad yigashu. One will approach one. Ze Yosef Yehuda. The Midrash says that's a reference to Yosef and Yehuda. One, Yosef is singular, he's king in Egypt. Yehuda is singular, he's king among the brothers. Kasher anu rim shekol davar chozer el shorsho, anu yodim shezoi tikvat olamot shechzru el shorsham elyon. When we see things coming back to their roots, that is an indication that in the world that's yet to happen, that the worlds will come back to their root as well, their root up above. There is this tendency to go back to your heritage, to go back to your roots. There is that tendency in humanity, and that tendency reveals to us that ultimately the world will come back to its prime root up above. Ela shehu tzrichu hayiridot, but it was necessary to descend, ki lefi havhakat hashoresh en beefsharut haolam lachil zulat al yedei shetekademna hayirida. The root is so bright that the world can't move forward with it. There has to be that evolvement of going down, and then you can grow. You take a tree, you want the tree to develop another tree, you take a branch, you put it in the ground, and then that from the ground that branch will grow again and become its own tree. But initially it won't work. The tree, when it's growing directly from its root, will not develop another tree. The only way to develop another tree is to take the branch and put it in the ground, either cut it off or keep it connected, but put it in the ground, put it down again, and then it can grow again into another tree. So the root from above is shining, but the only way it develops is by coming down below. There has to be this descent in order to have an ascent. Sh'al yedei itpashtut ha'anavim hem sochachim al orosh shel ha'shoresh, v'al yedei zeh mitma'atim u'mitztamtzemim ha'orot u'mitgalim ma'adraga lefi erech ha'mekablim. When the branches expand, so then those branches, so to speak, shield from that initial light. They've gone down, so to speak, and then everything can accept whatever they can accept from the light, and then they can start growing all over again. Ulefichach bizman gilui anafim lefi shem mishorish ha'astara hem poalim sheitrachku ha'shorashim ze mizeh velazot. קודם שיבוא התיקון השלם שהשיגי ענפים מתפרדים ונשאר רק הטוב והמקודש שבהם קודם הזמן הזה צריך קירוב בשורשים עצמם בלי ענפים שהתקרבו זה אל זה, אלא שדבר זה קשה מאוד מפני שקירוב השורשים אינו קירוב מקומי אלא איכות תפקידים, וכל אחד רוצה שתפקידו יתקיים וממילא הם מבטשים זה את זה. Okay, that was a long run on sentence. You have the root, you have the source, and then you have the branches, the evolvement of the source. So what initially happens is, if two trees grow, each one grows outwardly, and then even if you've planted two trees that seem to be close, the branches can end up being very far. They're each going to grow in their own direction. Technically, that's not a bad thing, but If we say that all the roots come back to one central root, they all come back to the Ribon Shel Olam, each one, let's say each person in this world has to bring out a different element in the world, right? We each have a different tafkid. So Yehuda's going to have his tafkid, and Yosef's going to have his tafkid, but ultimately they're all going back to the same source. But each one, so to speak, is the root of another movement, of another strength that has to come to play in the world. So if ultimately they're all supposed to be united, then the roots also have to come close to one another. You look at a world and you say, there's Hasidim and Misnagdim. There's if you look at the world and all the Batei Midrash are separate, so it sounds like everyone's doing their own thing. No, we're all united. We're all coming back to that same root.
But
we're not talking about that. We're talking within the system, there are different tasks. You want to unite it all, you have to unite the roots. You have to bring them back together. But that's not so easy because, right, that means that we're going to unite our task. And everyone wants to ensure their task is done. And then, let's take for a minute, let's take an example. It's not the same thing, but let's take, for example, the idea of the Hasidim and the Lithuanian movement. I'm only bringing this up because I saw one of the most beautiful things this week. We were discussing something in the architecture of the shul, so someone brought me a picture, a video of how Panovich looks. And what I saw, I never noticed this before, is that in Panovich, Panovich is the top Lithuanian yeshiva, so the Chora, that's Misnagdim, and I saw in Panovich a bunch of Hasidim learning among the students. So it was insightful to me. I didn't realize. I saw a lot of Sfardim and Hasidim. I said, you know, you look in the media, it sounds like Hasidim have their yeshiva, Sfardim have their yeshiva, Lithuanians have their yeshiva. Like everyone's doing their own thing. And suddenly I see a video that was taken recently of Panovich, and I see they're all learning together in the same Smedrish. And I said, wow, I didn't know that. You wouldn't have known. You look at the picture, you see it. Wow. So, but why is that difficult? Because the Hasidish Rebbe will say, I have to promote the love of the Jewish people. I have to promote the excitement in the service of Hashem, the excitement in tefillah. There's a strength that Hasidut brings to the world. It's an important strength. The Lithuanian movement is going to say, we have to promote the working on one's traits, the working on diligence in Torah, not to waste a minute to learn Torah. There's a strength we have to bring to the world. Can you put the two together without each one losing their identity? We're all working for the same goal, ultimately. We're all taking our strength from the same root. But when you try to unite two movements, each one's going to say, but I have to represent a force in the world. And if you're going to unite me with him, you're going to weaken what I have to do. So the unification is a threat to the uniqueness in the promotion of Avodas Hashem in that realm. So that makes it very difficult. It's very difficult to unite two strengths in a way that neither one feels like the other one is taking away from their strength. Even though we're all working with the same ultimate root, but we each have a task. So he says, to unite two roots is hard.
Jewish
soul. Rihuko shel Yosef me'echav. Yosef was distant from the brothers. Because Yosef, as Yaakov terms it later, is Nizirechav. He's the separate one among the brothers. Vishnei Achim Yudav Yosef Ratzu Lemalot Tafkidam B'li She'igrazem Yizeklum. Each one had to fulfill their task, Yehuda and Yosef. And under the same roof, there was a threat that each one is going to take away from the other. Umitchilak Shayu Achim Yachad Kol Echad Ratza She'ikanu La'ashpa Shelo. When all the brothers were under the same roof, Yehuda was pushing his agenda. Yosef was pushing his agenda in the service of Hashem. Yosef walks in. The little brother comes in and he says, "V'zeu yisod chalomotav shel Yosef. I have a dream. You're all going to bow to me." Wait a second. We have a big brother. He's called Yehuda. Yehuda's the chief rabbi in the house. Little brother Yosef walks in and says, "I have a dream." V'nei kamanu mativ gam nitzava. My bundle stood. And your bundles all surrounded it. They bowed to mine. Yehuda and all the brothers felt united behind Yehuda's flag. Yehuda's star had to shine. So there was a conflict between the two. To the point where they had to be separated. And each one started developing branches. Yehuda and Yosef, both are propagating, both are growing, and the growth ends up protecting the roots. Yehuda wants to come back. Yehuda's developed for 22 years under him. The house of Yaakov has been developing. He's been moving and promoting Avodas Hashem, service of Hashem, as we will see. And now it's time to unite the two forces. So, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef. Echad be'echad yigashu. The Medrash says, the singular one goes to meet the singular one. That's Yehuda and Yosef. ורוח לא יעבור ביניהם, even a breeze couldn't pass between them. אלו השבטים שאמרו מלאכים מדיינים אלו עם אלו, אנו מה יכפת לנו. The Medrash says, when Yehuda walked up to Yosef, the rest of the tribe stood back and said, two kings are having it out. We have no business in that discussion. The Medrash says, why is Yehuda the only voice we hear? Says the Medrash, because the brothers said, Yehuda's our king, Yosef is their king, we stay on the sidelines. We have no business in this conversation. That's the idea that Yosef had branches, Yosef had affected the world. Yehuda had branches, Yehuda had affected the core of the world. Yaakov's family, but the branches weren't involved. The roots were talking to one another.
Hine Yosef u'malaket ha'nifzarim l'achziram l'shorsh Yisrael, u'magamato l'itachev l'itpashet b'Yisrael gufa.
Yosef represents the idea of gathering what's been scattered, bringing in what's so far away, bringing back everything that can be brought back to the root of Israel. And so Yosef's goal is to expand Israel.
Mishkan Shiloh nivna b'tchumo shel Yosef.
The first temple when we entered Israel was called Mishkan Shiloh. Right? We entered from the desert, we camped in Gilgal, and then we built a temple in Shiloh. It wasn't the ultimate temple, but the first temple was built in Yosef's territory.
ומותר לאכול בשלו קודשים קלים בכל הרואה, לפי שלוזן אינו מן העבירה.
Shiloh had a different rule than the temple. In the temple, you're allowed to eat within Jerusalem. You're allowed to eat holy foods. By Shiloh, as far as you could see Shiloh, you could eat the holy foods of Shiloh. So Shiloh was different than the temple. In the temple, you could only eat within the walls of Jerusalem, which was pretty small. In Shiloh, you could go miles away. So long as you could still see Shiloh, you were allowed to eat from the holy foods. That's the idea of Yosef. Yosef wouldn't let his eye feast off of the sin. Our sages tell us that just as there's a term znut, znut means an illicit relationship, and it comes from the same root as zan, to be satiated. Our sages say, just as we have an upper aperture, we eat, we feed ourselves, so do we have a lower aperture. And the idea is that a person also needs satiation for his physical needs, not only in eating, but also in intimacy. They're both described as a mouth. The pubic hair is called zekan tachton, the lower beard. The Talmud describes them both as as though a person has two mouths and a person has two needs to eat. Well, our sages say there's also that need to see. A person also has a great desire to see a person of the opposite gender. And that's also called lazun, to feed one's eyes. But here the Torah says you're not supposed to feed your eyes off of sin. A person has to feed his eyes of what's permissible. But that's also called feeding the eyes. That's also something that needs a certain element of satiation. It says even when a couple is prohibited, So the husband is allowed to enjoy looking at his wife. She has to dress modestly during the time that they're prohibited. But he's allowed to, it says in Shulchan Aruch, he's allowed to enjoy looking at her. That means part of marriage is he's supposed to enjoy looking at her. And there's an element of a need that a man has in that. And that's also called to feed one's eyes. That's called zanenav, to feed his eyes. But the Talmud says you shouldn't be zanenav min avera. You're not supposed to feed your eyes off of things that are prohibited. Yosef wouldn't let his eyes feed. Our sages say it's not only he wouldn't be intimate with Potiphar's wife, he wouldn't look at her. He was always talked to her with his head down. The Medrash says she put a knife. She had him wear a necklace that had a knife under it so he wouldn't be able to put his head down. Because whenever he talked to her, he'd look down.
But she almost got him, no?
She almost got him, right? So Yosef, who wouldn't let his eyes feed off of sin, so then his temple can affect anyone who sees it. As far as you go, so long as you can see it, it affects you and you could eat holy foods. Vilu bebet olamim, when you go to the temple, the permanent temple in Jerusalem, kochim kol kalim mechalim rak betochir, you could only eat that holy food within the city. V'zeo avdel sheben Yehuda leYosef. That's the difference between Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef do'eg beikar b'avur kvodam sheYisrael, hachavatam v'ramatam sheyeh zar'o melo agoyim. Yosef is concerned with the honor of Israel. Israel is going to expand. Israel is going to be elevated. Israel will affect the world.
ובשביל שקידש יוסף שם שמיים בסתר, יוסף sanctified God's name in private, נתווסף לו תחת על שמו, ונקרא, the verse calls יוסף יהוסף, we say it in the שיר של יום, עדות ביהוסף שמו. It says Yosef merited to have another letter of God's name because he sanctified God's name in private, where no one would have known what happened, or at least so it felt at the time. Yehuda kideshem shemayim befachesia. Yehuda stood publicly and sanctified God's name. How did he sanctify God's name? He said, I did it. Varken kol Hashem bekirbo. That's why Yehuda's name is all-encompassing of Hashem's name. Yud kei vav kei with a dalet in the middle. Yehuda doeg bikar avur shem Hashem sheyeh galui bolamo. כפי נפלאות גודלו, הגם שאינו יכול כל כך להתפשט. Yehuda says, we have to work on quality, not quantity. Yosef is focused on expanding. The Jewish people have to expand their influence, they have to expand. Yehuda is worried about quality. We have to ensure that there's a great level of the Ribon Shom revealed in the world. I don't need it to expand as much as Yosef is concerned. I need it to expand in the greatest level here. It will expand, but it won't expand as much as Yosef. Yosef nichalei b'tzimtzum. Yosef says, I don't need the highest level. I do need as much expansion. So Yosef has the Egyptian circumcised. They don't become monotheists for it. But there's an expansion of Hashem's name. Yosef wanted the Mishkan of Shiloh. Ah, Mishkan of Shiloh isn't as holy as the temple in Jerusalem, right? But it's far more expansive. Yehuda wants the temple. That's the higher level of revelation. That's the holier place. So there's a higher level of holiness in Jerusalem, but it's not as expansive. It's limited to the city of Jerusalem, but it's on a much higher level than Shiloh. Those are the two characteristics. Now what's extraordinary is the Talmud tells us that both in Yehuda and in Yosef, the real revelation of the Shekhinah wasn't in Yehuda or Yosef, it was in Benjamin. It says in Yehuda's territory, there was a little strip of Benjamin territory that extended into Judean territory, and on that little strip, the Holy of Holies was built. So Yehuda did not have really the essence of the holiest part of the temple. That little strip, it says Yehuda was terribly annoyed, but that's where the temple was built. The Holy of Holies. Kimi balade binyamin shenolad be'etz Yisrael yifshal ha'shchina shetitkale. You want Hashem's revelation? It can only come through the one who's born in Israel. No one else. None of the tribes were born here aside from Binyamin. Ve'lachayn ratza Yehuda limshoch et Binyamin acharav. And that's why you have a struggle here between Yehuda and Yosef over Binyamin. Their argument is on a different level about what's happening with Binyamin. What's happening in the argument between Yehuda and Yosef is that Yosef comes to an understanding that he cannot have his Mishkan Shiloh without Yehuda having his Mishkan. Yosef needs Yehuda's strength in order to do his task. If you don't have one place that represents a high level of connection to the Ribon Shom, you can't expand. Yosef comes to a realization, I need Yehuda. It's not enough that I alone exist. You could take this to a simple level today, where when I was learning in Merkaz Arav, so I was very tempted for a number of years to go out and do Kirov, go and learn in a yeshiva somewhere where I'd be teaching 50 people a night, 100 people a night. Let me go out. Why do I have to stay in Merkaz Arav? And one of the rabbis in Merkaz Arav said to me, no, when you stay in Merkaz Arav, you might be teaching only 3 guys or 5 guys, but those 5 guys will teach hundreds of people. When you're dealing with people at a certain level, so you have to retain that place that will ultimately provide. Yosef can expand, but only because he has Yehuda. You can expand and teach Torah outward, but you have to have the place. Look at what Merkaz Arav accomplished. I'd say 80% of the Dati Lumi yeshivot and shuls are disciples or disciples of disciples of Merkaz Arav. Machon Meir started in Merkaz Arav. And if you go down the list, the Yemenites, Rav Kapach, learned in Merkaz Arav. You go one by one. And you see the Rav Drukman set up Or Etzion, the top Hesder Yeshiva, Merkaz Arav. Rav Neria was the chief rabbi of Bnei Akiva. He put Bnei Akiva on the map, Merkaz Arav. Saying, you look down the map, the book we're learning, Rav Chalav, who's a disciple of Merkaz Arav. When you take a place, that's the strength of Yehuda. Take and elevate to the highest level, and then that will allow others to expand from that level. Yosef came to a realization that even his ability to stand up to his test with Potiphar's wife on some level was impacted by Yehuda's strength back in Israel. That Yehuda's strength to promote a highest level of holiness in the world, that affected Yosef and his ability to expand in his level, as great as it was. And that's why when Yehuda saw that Yosef was trying to take a hold of Binyamin, and part of the idea was, I will ensure that my temple, Mishkan Shiloh, will be the great impactor on the world. So Yehuda answers him, Ve'achiv mit. Until now they kept saying, we're looking for a lost brother. This is the first time that Yehuda tells Yosef, this child's brother is already dead. He's looking at Yosef and saying, you're dead. He's telling him, you have to understand that if we don't have what I'm trying to promote in the world, you won't have what you're trying to promote in the world. It won't work. And that's what Rav Chalav says, the words, Be Adoni. Be Adoni could mean, please my master. Be Adoni could mean, it's all up to me, my master. He's telling him, it's all contingent on me, not on you. You want to know where the world will have its strength from? That's from the temple. When you promote something that's on the highest level, that's where you can affect the world. It's when Yehuda says that line that Yosef can't stand anymore. And he gives in.
I heard something similar, which is the same, you know, why does Yosef say, is my father still alive? Now, he knew his father was still alive. They went back up. At that point, he realized, I think, I mean, is what I heard, I maybe didn't know, but, you know, the need for both the roots. And he knew that Yehuda also, I think at that point, because he proved it, you know, he may not have liked it, but he proved, he recognized that his father's love for Binyamin and for Yosef was different than for him. But he needed, but he also was well aware of his place, as you just said, as being an essential part of the government of Israel. And when Yosef said, oh, it's alive, I need to get him to the kids. But it sounded like at that moment, you know, why did Yosef, who wasn't a sadist, put him through all this with Binyamin? And when Yehuda, you know, he knew clearly. You know, his father would have preferred Shimon to stay there than to risk losing Benjamin. He may not have liked, except that. And Yosef saw that, he also accepted that he, as you mentioned, I think, that he, without Yehuda, he couldn't go with him. And as you say, he still comes today with different approaches, you know. Do we become insular? The world comes here and learn from us? Or do we go out by, you know, what?
He says that the prophecy that we read in the Haftarah, that there will be a branch of Yosef in the hands of Ephraim, which will be united with the branch of Yehuda, and they will become one tree. So that's the idea that the temple will ultimately become more than what it was. Our sages say, Jerusalem will expand till Damascus. You'll be able to eat holy foods to Damascus. That means the idea of Yehuda, which is, I have one place that's the holiest, and that's going to affect the world. That's going to be united with Yosef, the idea of expanding to the world. The two will be able to work together without one threatening the other. So that's, in conclusion, that's what we learned today. The Medrash says, one went to meet up with one. That we see that things go back to their roots. That's an indication that everything is connected to that great root. We all stem from that same root. But we have a threat. There's a reason why we each represent something else, because we're scared of obliterating one another. When you have two strengths, there's a fear that each strength needs to develop on its own so that they don't end up conflicting and minimizing one another. Yosef separates from the brothers. Yosef in the house keeps threatening Yehuda's position. Yehuda says, we have to make this house the holiest house in the world. Yosef says, we have to expand this house. We have to treat everyone well. We have to work on expanding. And Yehuda says, no. Ultimately, Yehuda wins. They kick Yosef out. Yosef wins. Yosef expands to the world. Then Yosef and Yehuda re-meet. When they re-meet, there's the argument over Benjamin, which represents Binyamin is actually where the Holy of Holies was. It's a representation of that argument represents the great argument of what's our major task in the world. It's only when Yehuda tells Yosef, you know, Benjamin's brother's dead, it's all in me, or my master. It's up to me. I'm the one responsible to dad. Yehuda's telling Yosef, you will not be able to succeed without me doing what I have to do in the world. And Yosef realizes that. And then Yosef concedes. So the ultimate prophecy is that Yehuda will succeed with Yosef, without Yosef obliterating Yehuda or Yehuda obliterating Yosef. That's the idea that Jerusalem will ultimately expand till Damascus. You'll be able to eat holy foods as far as you can see it. The expansion beyond a limited place without compromising on the quality. That's the ultimate prophecy, but that's the difficult prophecy, the idea that you can have both a quantity with quality, expansion without losing the quality. That's what we read in the Haftarah, that ultimately the two will work in conjunction.